The Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
And it sounds like today we came out to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Sound like there's some Christians up in here or something. Bless the Lord. We give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Pastor and Co-Pastor Carpenter, to all of our ministers, to the Kirkbride ministry workers. We give honor to you, God's children. We thank the Lord for another day that He has kept us. I am going to ask you to just bear with me as I reread Psalm 23 in its entirety. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you, God, and can't do anything without you, God. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it would be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will bless your people through the word of God. I pray, God, that hearts will be open, God, and that the word of your truth will just be alive, God, that it will do what you have sent it to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Bible is explicit in its indications about anointing people. The anointing of people is symbolic to show that individuals have been authorized or set aside for a particular work or service in ministry. Anointing is not just a frivolous exercise to place people in position, but it signifies that the anointed person belongs to God in a special sense. And a lot of people, many of us today say, oh, I want to be anointed. I want that special calling on my life. And my question today is, are you willing to pay the price for the anointing? Salvation is free, but there is a cost for the anointing. So the three things that I want to leave with you today are my relationship with the shepherd. My relationship with the shepherd. Recovery and makeover. And test and anointing. My relationship. My recovery and makeover. And then my test and my anointing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This tells me that I have a tightly knit relationship with the Father. The writer of this psalm was emphatic in his statement that he had an understanding that the Lord was the guiding force in his life. And through circumstances, he had come to know the Lord as his, not only his shepherd, but as his personal concierge. A concierge is, you know, when you go to a fancy hotel, they have a desk called guest services. And the concierge, you go over to them and you tell them that you have a special need. And then when I looked in the dictionary, it said that the concierge is the gatekeeper. The concierge is the caretaker of whatever you have need of. And see, the Bible tells me that God, the Lord God, is my shepherd. He is my personal concierge. And whatever I have need of, if I need a right relationship with him, he will take care of my every need. I will never suffer lack because he is at his post all the time. And then when I look at verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In other words, he causes or allows me to rest in a place that's a safe haven. And then he leads me beside the tranquil, the still waters, and they provide rest for my weary soul. And what I found out about the shepherd is like a parent, a good parent. And sometimes a parent will look at a child and assess the condition of a child. Sometimes when you look at your child, a parent knows what's going on in the life of a child, even if the child doesn't say anything. A good parent can look at a child afar off and see that something is wrong. And see, that's how God is with us. The shepherd of our soul, he looks at us. He sees our condition. He sees where we are. He sizes us up. And he looks deep within, and he knows that somewhere along the way, we have been messed up. Somewhere along the way, we have treaded in some pathways that were rugged, and sometimes we got off track. And so the shepherd, he knows our immune system. He knows us intimately. And so he leads us by the still water so that we can find rest for our mind, body, and soul. And then not only does he lead us beside the still water, but then he begins after he allows us to recover. And sometimes things in our life mess us up so bad that we just need a safe haven. We just need a place where we can let go and let God. That's what I'm talking about, the still waters, the tranquility, the rest that we need for our souls. And so after we have gone through that period, he will begin to make us over. He will begin to do a new thing. He will begin, the Bible says, he will lift us up out the miry clay. He will begin to recover and restore us. And it says, he restoreth my soul. He needs me. He is with me. He is the guiding force in my life. He is leading me on the path of righteousness because he sees that the way I was going was not the right way. He sees that what I was into was messing me up. He sees that the things that I the path of righteousness because I was about to kill myself.
Well,
how many of us were doing things, caught up in mess, caught up in dirt, but God, He turned us around, gave us another chance, leading us on the path of righteousness, because we were bound for a devil's hell. And the Bible tells me that all of us are like sheep that have gone astray. We are like sheep. And if anybody knows anything about sheep, sheep are just dumb. Dumb. I don't know any other way to put it, but we are dumb. Because there was in some movie, I can't even remember what movie it was, it says our minds couldn't get right. We could not get right because we did not have the mind of Christ. And that's why it's so important to have a relationship with the Father. Because when we don't have a relationship with the Father, we cannot discern spiritual things. We don't even know that we're off the beaten pathway because our minds are all over the place. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're walking every which way we can, going in all kinds of places that we shouldn't go because our minds are double-minded. But the Bible tells us if we keep our minds stayed on Jesus, He will keep us in perfect peace. And so, He leads us beside the still water because we had no sense of direction. We had gone astray. And say, I don't know how many of you have been in the valley of oppression and depression. But I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. See, oppression and depression are not vacation spots. God does not have any intention for us to stay there. See, the Bible says that we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Oppression and depression is not where we want to be. And see, when we get in a right relationship with the Lord, we will know that all of our help comes from the Lord. We won't even want to stay in those states because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. When we get in a right relationship with the Father, we will begin to hear His voice. In Isaiah 30 and 21, it says, this is the way. This is the way that I want you to go. This is the pathway that I have set for your life. Walk in. He's going to tell us whether we should go to the left or whether we should go to the right. But we have to be in a right relationship with the Father. And then here comes the text in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. I'm moving. I am not going to allow myself to get stuck. Because God has a plan for my life. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And the Bible says, the shadow. The shadow. If we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow. And see, some of us get tricked up because when we look at the shadow, we get scared. But see, what do they say about a shadow? It's just a big thing appearing real. It's false. evidence appearing real. And see, that's how the devil tries to trick us. We look at something and it seems like it's so big. It seems like it's going to take us out. It seems like we're going to go over the cliff. But it is false evidence. False evidence that appears to be real. And so if we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that's where we need to be, under the shadow of the Almighty. We don't need to be focusing on the things that the enemy has set up for us. But we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we don't have to fear no evil. No evil. And we don't have to linger in the valley. And a lot of us can't even make it to the prepared table because we're so stuck in the valley. We are stuck in the shadow. Can't even make it to the table because we let what we see freak us out. We let what we see in front of us take us away from what God has told us. And see, the Bible says that there are going to be enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. But when we go into the presence of the Lord, our enemies are defeated. And let me say this. The Bible doesn't say enemy. We know that Satan is our enemy. But guess what? Satan has angels. So that's enemy multiplied. And so there are going to be enemies coming up against us. There is going to be attacks on our jobs, in our schools, in our families, in our churches, wherever we are, there are going to be enemies. Because guess what? This is a constant tug of war. There is always going to be a battle against the prince of the air and God's children. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. So we need to know how to handle our enemies. We need to begin to pray and meditate and study the word of God so we will know how to deal with our opponents. Thank you, Lord. We are engaged in warfare. And everybody wants the anointing, but nobody wants to pay the price for the anointing. And guess what? I'm here to tell you today that there is a price to pay for the anointing. There is a price to pay. And see, the Bible talks about the shepherd and how he has the rod and the staff and they comfort us. And you notice that he only uses two things in his defense team. Two things, the rod and the staff. Because that's all he needs. One is to help us in our time of need. And the other is to defend us. Two things that the shepherd needs. So if he uses those things, shouldn't we be using those things? Remember in the old karate movies, they had the shocker stick? And see, that's what we need, to get some spiritual shocker stick. So when the enemy comes up against us, we begin to... Don't play with me. Understanding how we were bad in the world. But then when we become Christians, we become punks. I don't understand that. Because the Bible tells, see, there should be a crossover. If you are bad in the world, you need to be bad in the house of God. I don't understand that. See, he didn't design us to break. And see, he has given us some arsenals, some weapons that we can use in our arsenal. And see, I don't know about you, but in here. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. See, God is trying to teach us some things. And this is a process. He allows us to come into a relationship with Him. He restores us. He makes us over. And then He leads us into the presence of our enemies. And then, finally, He anoints us. He's trying to teach us some things. 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got some work to do. Everything that exhausted itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we got to pull it down. We don't have time to fear. We don't have time to retreat. There is work that we have to do right here on earth. Sickness and disease has to flee at the name of Jesus. It is an enemy of the body of Christ. Financial matters, unemployment, it has to bow down. They are enemies. And God has given us the power. God has given us the authority to go forth. And Jesus said, we have the power and the power of life and death is in our tongue. We are to open our mouth and declare what God says. We have to speak it into the atmosphere. We have to get it in our spirit. We have to pray it. We have to meditate on it day and night. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear no evil, because He is with me. Do you know how powerful that is? You are not walking this thing by yourself. He is with me. Come here, Vera. Come on. He is with me. Everywhere my feet trod, He is with me. I'm bad. I got it going on like that. That's why He is with me. Who should I fear? He got this. He is with me. In the valley. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Who can be against me? If I got God on my side, ain't no devil in hell going to tear me down. I'm not built to break y'all. I'm not built to break. And if I'm not built to break, you're not built to break. He got us. When we pass through the water, we won't drown. Because the God of our salvation is with us. He is a stronghold in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe me, I got some witnesses. I got some witnesses. Come here, Esther. Come here, Esther. Esther was set up. See, Haman thought he had her. He thought he had her. But see, he didn't know. Esther had a relationship with the Father. Esther allowed the Lord to lead her and guide her. pastor paid attention to the voice of the shepherd. And so the shepherd told Esther what to do because he was the guiding force in her life. See, Esther prepared a banquet feast. And here comes Haman. He thought he had her. But God said, not so. He prepared, he told Esther, prepare the table in the presence of your enemy. And watch what I do. See, the Lord was leading Esther. And see, some of us don't understand. We get all scared and nervous and want to retreat because sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will lead you in front of your enemy. But did you hear what I said? Catch this. Catch this. The Spirit of the Lord will sometimes lead you in the presence of your enemy. Can I get a witness? Didn't he do that for the Hebrew boys? Didn't he do that for the Hebrew boys? And guess what? They experienced victory because they surrendered to the will of the Father. They surrendered to the will of the shepherd. So they experienced victory.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
You need another witness? Doesn't the Bible tell us that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan? He was in the wilderness 40 days. And see, the enemy tried to tempt him. He was clamoring in his ear. But he declared, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's why it's important for us to know the word. We need to pray the word. We need to meditate on the word. We need to be hearing the word as we sleep. You can't give back the word if you don't know the word. That's why we're weak and defenseless. That's why Satan is wreaking havoc in our lives. Because we don't know how to apply the word. The word, the word, the word. It's rich. It is full. And it is complete. And what I like the scripture, it said that God restored us. Well, and I started thinking about that. He restored us. He got us in a relationship with him first. Then he restored us. Then he made us over. And I said, gosh, look at the sequence of this. He made us over before he put us in the presence of our enemies. And I said, so what? He restored us and made us over before we got to our enemies because he knew that if we were in our flesh dealing with our enemies, it would have been ugly. It would have been ugly. See, God has a way of making things right in our lives that was wrong. See, if I had dealt with some of my enemies in my flesh, I would have been in jail. Now, you know I'm talking right. You know it's right. If we had dealt with our enemies in our BC days before we knew Christ, we would have been in somebody's jail. And it took me back to what's the movie, The Incredible Hulk. He used to say, don't mess with me when I'm angry, because you won't like me when I'm angry. How many of us know that's why? Thank you for the blood of Jesus. You would not have liked me in my BC days. Don't make a sister mad. It's real. And so God had to do something in us so we would not deal with our enemies in the flesh, because the Bible tells us that no flesh shall glory in the sight of God. We can't be in our flesh. We can't operate in the flesh and please God. It just won't work. And see, he put us here to be representatives for the kingdom. And so we can't go slicing and dicing and cutting folks up. And then say, praise the Lord, we can't do that. So God has a way of fixing things up that he will get the glory out of our lives. And I'm a visual learner. So I want to help you to understand what God is saying through this message today. He will prepare a table. Come on and help me prepare this table. He's going to help me out. This is how God is doing us. He prepares a table. Deacon Tony, I can't use you, Sister Vera, because you was just the Lord. So, Roddy, come here. Mother, come here. Come on, come here, come here, come here. Sit on this first row for me. Didn't I just tell you that the Lord is with us? Everywhere our feet try, he is with us. Come on, help. Come on, come on. So, when it says that he is preparing a table, that means he's setting things in order for us. And can you move over? Work this way, baby. Look. Because I want you to get the full effect of this thing. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And see, he didn't ask me to do anything. All he asked me to do was show up at the table. So I'm at the table. In the valley, because we see the shadow. and the shadow is just overwhelming to us. So we can't even get past the shadow to get to the table. And this is where the blessing, this is where the anointing comes in, at the table. And God is not requiring us to do anything at the table. Just show up and let him do it. Whatever it is that you is your enemy, it could be, I said it could be school. Sister Pam told us about a situation with the girls in school. Teacher made them stand up to take a test. The devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus. So what we do is apply the word. We show up at the table. And see, it's nothing that the teacher could do to them because the anointing of God is on their life. And no matter what that teacher tries to do to them, their cup is going to run over. Goodness and mercy is following them. The enemy of sickness, it has to flee because the anointing of God is on our life. Unemployment, distress, peril, war. I don't care what your enemy is. It has to bow down at the name of Jesus. Because God said so. See, co-pastor said a couple weeks ago, when we apply the word, we apply the word. We speak the word. We speak the word. We apply it to our lives. We sit at the table and wait for God to do what he has promised us to do. And I don't know about you, but I'm just crazy enough to believe God. I'm just stupid enough to say if he says he's going to do it, and some days it don't look like he's going to do it. Some days it does not feel like he's going to do it. But the Bible says, lo, I'm with you.
Always.
Come, look, come on, here I go again. Yep, here I go again. Always, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It didn't say it might follow me. If it may follow you, I don't know. I don't know. It's raining in your life, so I don't know. No, it said it shall follow you all the days of your life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. See, a lot of us, and I had to cry uncle, we want the resurrection without the Good Friday. How many of us have experienced that? We want what's up here, but we don't want to go to what's going on down there. We want to bypass that. If it hurts, we don't want any part of it. But see, that's the price you pay for the anointing. A lot of people say, ooh, I want what pastor and co-pastor had. Ooh, Lord Jesus, I want that. Well, guess what? You want to be like them, walk in their shoes. Yeah. Anybody remember how when co-pastor broke her leg?
Yeah.
Walk in her shoes. Her boot. Walk in her boot. Anybody want to go through what I went through?
My God.
Last year, this time, they were telling me I had a brain tumor.
My God.
But God.
My God.
See, that's why I said I'm crazy enough to know that goodness and mercy is following me.
Yeah.
So we got to the point, we told when we went to the doctor, I said, this is going to be my last visit. I'm not coming back anymore.
Right.
So when we went back, he said, well, Mrs. Woods, I just don't know what to say. I said, well, we know what to say. Prayer works because we applied the word.
Yeah.
We sat at the table.
Yeah.
And we waited for the goodness and the mercy.
Yeah.
Anybody want the anointing? Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you for the anointing. But guess what? You don't have to do it by yourself. God is with you as you strive for the anointing. God is with you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And some people say, oh, I feel so alone, but you're not alone because the word says, I will never leave you. He is with us in the midst of the storm. Are you willing to pay the price for the anointing? Standing all over God's house. Hallelujah.